We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sam in Sacramento. Sam, what do you got?
Hey, just enjoying the show. Well, you know what? I like the Sanders deal. Obviously, it's going to take a little time for this guy to get up to speed. You know, he's probably just going to get limited reps, but you got to try. And I'm glad you guys played the statement from Kyle Shanahan, because I think it's not an either or. I think he's right. There are some guys in the room. Your point is well made about now's not really the time for developing. The one change I would like to see, you guys were talking about Pettis. This guy's out there on the field for 30, 40 snaps, and you're just not seeing it. I look at a guy like Richie James Jr., who gets limited opportunities, limited targets, and makes the most. The guy's averaging over 20 yards a catch. He got one target the other day in Washington, and it was a big 40-yard play. He did the same thing in week one against Tampa Bay. He's a spark, and I'm not saying fit this guy for a yellow jacket, but let's go with productivity. If you look at, I think the development process, hey, these guys know what they're doing, but I'm not really happy with the Dante Pettis and the amount of reps. I don't think he's earning it at this point.
Sam, solid call. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll tell you, there's no doubt.
He wasn't unreasonable enough for me.
Look, this was a shot across the bow of every single one of those guys in the 49ers wide receiver room.
No question.
You know, we waited a month and a half to see which one of you guys was going to emerge. You collectively chose no one, so we had to go outside to bring in help. That is a message to everyone in that room that it's got to get better, and it's got to get better right now.
What it is a message that we're not waiting. We almost don't care if you get better. We got better.
Yeah.
Whether you get better is up to you, but we think we got better.
So the Niners have not really released the person they'll have to release for Sanders. They released Garrison Sanborn, who was the long snapper, but Kyle Nelson,
right, that's
is
already
about to be active,
right, that's
as well.
Swap for
so
swap.
There is going to be another casualty from the roster. Honestly,
do you need a third tight end now?
Yes, because you don't have Juszczyk.
Yeah.
And if it was up to me, and I had nothing to go on but what I've seen on the field, it's Pettis.
Yeah, but they're not going to cash in on the draft.
That's right. And so I think
Pettis.
You're going to see Kendrick Bourne go. Well, I guess Jordan Matthews is still there, so it might be him first. But then eventually Trent Taylor and Jalen Hurd are coming back. And I don't see how Kendrick Bourne sticks on this roster.
It's going to be tough for him to survive the numbers game.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see them leave Jalen Hurd on full season IR, but they seem to really like Trent Taylor. So I don't know. The back end of that receiver room is now very crowded with young players who they say they like all of, and some they've invested draft capital in, and I don't know what they do with that. But I do know the room's a lot better today than it was yesterday.
In less than a half an hour from now at 4:30, we begin what is an uninterrupted commercial-free hour of radio with two outstanding interviews set up to go back-to-back. Peter King at 4:30, Steve Kerr live at 5 o'clock this afternoon on 95.7 The Game. Larry in San Francisco. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Damon. Man, I'll tell you what, man, I'm so excited they got Emmanuel because not all of Jimmy's Garoppolo, take away the pick six, take away the bonehead throw he did in, I think it was Cleveland or whatever. But you look at his interceptions, they always come after a big drop on what should have been a touchdown or a big gain. You throw those balls to Emmanuel, they're a big gain or a touchdown. You know?
That's what they're banking on. That's what they're banking on. This isn't about a huge Pro Bowl caliber, gaudy statistical wide receiver. This is about one touchdown in the red zone when it matters most. That's what this is about. This is about two, three plays that are going to be needed to be made at the end of the year. That's what this is.
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's also about 3 to 4 plays a game that would have been made if Emmanuel Sanders had been on this team instead of the guys we've been watching. Because we've watched Kendrick Bourne, Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis, all of them, and even Deebo Samuel on a couple occasions, blow plays that were there for them. We've watched it. So that, I mean, that's what I haven't understood about the people so opposed to the acquisition of someone like Emmanuel Sanders is, fine, he's not AJ Green, he's not Julio Jones, I get that. But I don't think there's any debate. He's a lot better than the guys we've been watching play receiver for the Niners.
Interesting point brought up here saying, you know, it's easy to think that the cut would come from the wide receiver group when you're adding a wide receiver. What if they tried to trade Beathard or Mullins to try to get back a third or fourth rounder that they've given up from the Sanders trade?
I mean, I think fourth is the best you'd get for either guy, and that even might be a bit of wishful thinking. And I kind of think they like having the safety net. I don't think they're anxious to move either.
I would agree with you, but again, I'm trying to solve number games. But thinking out loud, there are no bad ideas unless Ray comes up with it.
I suppose that either way, you're not going to keep the extra wide receiver. You don't need 8 wide receivers. You don't need 7 wide receivers. I think the issue is that none of those guys have distinguished themselves enough to be like, that's definitely the guy we got to keep. That's the problem. It's not that they're all bad. It's that none of them have been good enough to step out of the fray, so it's hard to choose which of the not-so-impressive young wide receivers you'd want to cut bait with, because that could end up being the one that does make something of his career.
I think you cut the Sanders guy. He hasn't done anything for you.
That's true. He's never caught a pass for the Niners.
He's 32. He's got some injury miles on him.
Hey, the last time the Niners traded for a guy named Sanders, they went to and won the Super Bowl.
That's true.
That's a fact.
I'll say this on Pettis, too. How often does a guy's career start like this and then he becomes a superstar?
I would say if there weren't any flash, there'd be no chance at all. But I've seen flash.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But it's 2 years, and how much flash?
I don't think they can wait around for the guy who's going to be a superstar. Like, they need service.
No, but this is the point I'm making about Pettis. If we're just talking about who you're going to have to get rid of, I understand you don't want to admit defeat on a second-round pick from a year and a half ago. Of course you don't. And probably ultimately, like, it's going to be Matthews first, but I'm saying if you're bringing back Trent Taylor, for instance, and you got to pick another wide receiver to cut, I know what Kendrick Bourne is, and he's not bad. I don't know what Dante Pettis is, and yeah, I've seen flash, but if the flash never pays off, he's bad.
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
They must like the way he blocks. He's out there for a lot of snaps.
Quite sure it's not that.
This is Moose in San Jose. What's going on, Moose?
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to say this trade to me is essentially a Band-Aid trade for this whole Jalen Ramsey to the Rams thing, and the fact that we went 9 partially in the fact that we went 9-0 in the Mud Bowl game. But this doesn't impress me whatsoever. I mean, John Lynch going to his buddy John Elway and basically begging him for a player off of his tanking team or his non-playoff team. And yeah,
I don't know why you're attaching a level of shame to a phone call about a player who was available.
And it's not like they gave up a first-round pick. It's the begging?
Because of the player you got. Because of the player you get. You're getting a rich man's Marquise Goodwin. If you're going to move anybody off.
All right, that, but you all you what? Got is then the poor Man. Man's Marquise Goodwin. That's just a thing.
Like, and I'm sick of that, because that's not accurate.
Right.
If you think Emmanuel Sanders is Marquise Goodwin but a little better, you're wrong. You're just wrong. They're totally different types of wide receivers, and Sanders has been incredibly productive and still was last year.
And here's the deal. If you don't like Emmanuel Sanders, that's fine. Ray wasn't in love with it yesterday either. But what you're not, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. Emmanuel Sanders, the day he shows up and walks in that room, is the best wide receiver in that room. And your opinion of where you think he is in his career arc doesn't change that. It doesn't change it at all.
Let me just put...
No, we don't do that, because we got to take a quick break and then come on back. We got a very interesting hour starting at 4:30, a commercial-free hour Peter King at 4:30. Warrior head coach Steve Kerr joins us live at 5 here on 95.7 The Game. It is your last chance for an $8K per day cash contest. Text the code word schedule, S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E. Text the code word schedule to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates apply. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7, The Game.
Got an outstanding hour of radio starting at 4:30, which means we're going to have a small segment here trying to squeeze in as many calls as we can. And then at 4:30, we're going commercial free for an hour from 4:30 to 5:30. Peter King joins us at 4:30. Steve Kerr joins us at 5:30. Looking forward to all of that. 4:30, Peter King. 5 o'clock, Steve Kerr. We'll be talking to him till about 5:30. 888-957-9570. Guy here on the text line says, you guys don't have all the facts on Emmanuel Sanders yet. He's done nothing in a Niners uniform. That's like saying nobody's ran for a touchdown yet in Week 8. Well, of course it hasn't happened yet. You can't predict something that hasn't happened yet. But you can look back at what someone has done in sports, you know, these things called statistics, that might suggest who you have. Here's the fact. Darren Waller of the Raiders has more catches than basically every 49er receiver combined. All right?
Can I do another fact? Because the Marquise Goodwin comparisons are really getting under my skin.
He's not Marquise Goodwin, not even close to Marquise Goodwin.
Marquise Goodwin, everyone likes to talk about his 2017 when he had 962 yards on 56 catches. Super productive by Marquise Goodwin's standards. Congratulations to him. 2017 was a great year. Other than that, he's never gotten to 500 yards receiving in a season. Emmanuel Sanders not only has 3,000-yard seasons on his resume, he has been over 500 every season since 2012 when he started becoming a regular starter for the Steelers. And he had 868 yards in 12 games last year. Last year. Marquise Goodwin played 11 games last year and had 395 yards. So last year, in a similar amount of time, he was literally twice as productive as Marquise Goodwin.
That's it.
Like, it's not comparable.
Again, I know some of you got some real terse and strong opinions, but we do have NFL statistics on our side.
Lots of them.
888-957-9570. We've also got Ray Ratto on our side.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, I'm having a hard time wanting to engage in the Goodwin-Sanders debate because I only have so much RAM in my head. I can't. If you honestly think they are comparable, then either you are inarticulate and what you are trying to say is that Sanders is not a breathtaking deep threat like Michael Thomas. And I don't think anybody has said that.
Right. Emmanuel Sanders, there's a list of like 7 or 8 guys that he's definitely not. Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones.
Keenan Allen,
A.J. Green.
When healthy.
Yeah, there's that list, and he's not on that list, and nobody's debating that.
You mean the list that also sounds exactly like a list of wide receivers who aren't on a trading block?
Exactly.
It's amazing how those lists line up. 888-957-9570.
I hate that I'm having to defend the sandwich trade.
Ivan in Fremont. Ivan, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, just hearing all these complaints today about how this trade, you know, is not in our favor is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, have they seen our wide receiver stat line so far? I mean, we ranked dead last in the NFL with 49 catches combined by our wide receivers. And Emmanuel Sanders alone has 30. And this comparison, again, to Marquise Goodwin, he has 10 catches so far this year. So this is such an upgrade for us. He's such a dynamic playmaker. I really think this is really going to help us out, especially come playoff time when defenses will be focused on Jimmy G. They're going to want him to beat them. And we're going to need a playmaker like Sanders, you know, to make those plays for us come December and January.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, Ivan. 888-957-9570. Anthony in Santa Rosa. Hello, Anthony.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Well, you know, I'm glad we got Emmanuel Sanders, man. I've always liked him. He's a pretty good, solid wide receiver. I don't know why in the hell people are comparing him to Goodwin, because they're not really the same, but I like Emmanuel a lot. What would you say? Is he like a second receiver? Is he kind of more like a 1B? Because there were those years when he was there with Manning, with Thomas, and I couldn't really tell who was the number one.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Ideally, he's a 1B. Totally, totally. The problem is, like we're saying, there's probably less than 10.
Right.
If we're talking true superstar stud.
On a team with a great receiver, he's the second best receiver on that team.
Yeah.
On a team without a great receiver, he is instantly in the conversation for best receiver on that team.
Yeah.
Even coming off an Achilles. 7 games, 30 catches, 44 targets, 2 touchdowns. How many drops?
That's hard to find, and I don't trust NFL drop stats anyway.
I don't either, really.
57.
Oh, well, that's a tough number. I don't like that at all.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I take it all back.
I just want to make up numbers at this point. I don't understand.
Well, that's what some of the audience are doing.
According to Pro Football Focus, zero drops.
Oh, well, there's a nice number to attach to the stat of drops.
Yeah.
By the way, 1-0, Sharks over the Sabres.
Go Sharks.
Yeah. Goofy, calling from Pittsburgh. Goof.
What's up, fellas? No, I was just calling on that caller. I don't know if his name is Mouse or Moose or whatever. Him saying that Marquise Gooden is a rich man. Man, forget that. Look, from where we were yesterday, from where we were 6 games ago, okay, we have a top-notch receiver now on our team, okay? We are 6-0. We are a lot better than we were yesterday and from the beginning of the season. So let's just ride it out with him, see where he goes, see what they do with him, and let's just see how, you know, where he takes us this season. That's it.
You addressed a need.
Yeah, and by the way,
a clear need.
You have a number one pass catcher in George Kittle. Emmanuel Sanders is a heck of a 1B to that.
Exactly. You might not need a stud wide receiver if you've got the best tight end in football. The Niners are real close to that, too. But you do need a wide receiver. And by the way, if Kittle's this good with every single pair of eyes on the defense trained on him, what kind of plays is he about to make when you got to concentrate on somewhere, something else? Carpenter, Pittsburgh, final call of the segment. Carpenter, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, I'm real stoked about this trade the Niners picked, the Niners got. I didn't think they gave too much up for him. I think you're not guaranteed a good receiver in the draft, so you get someone with history like he has. It makes sense to trade that pick for him. I think it's going to open up a lot of stuff for the other guys on the offense, especially for Kittle. If you look at the stats, him and Kittle are pretty comparable with the yards for this year. So I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. It's sending a message to the rest of the NFL that the 49ers are a team you're going to have to deal with. They're not going anywhere.
No, it's an aggressive move. It's a signal to everyone. They're coming, and they believe that they can do something, not in the future, but right now. We're going to talk about the right now and how it changed when they traded for Emmanuel Sanders, and we're going to do that next with the one and only Peter King coming up here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're about to bring you a commercial-free hour of sports talk radio right in the middle of your afternoon drive. Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, joins us live at 5 o'clock. It is 4:30 right now. We're extremely happy to welcome in Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Our NFL insider on the dial pad guest line, also brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Peter King with Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. We obviously start with the trade the Niners made with the Denver Broncos today for Emmanuel Sanders. Do you think they are now a favorite to play in the Super Bowl?
I mean, this trade does not make them a favorite to play in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it's a good trade for him. teams are getting freer to make big deals. I spent the weekend with the Rams in Atlanta, and it's clear that the landscape is changing in the NFL right now. And the landscape, which used to be protect your assets at all costs, set a price for whoever you're going to try to sell, and if a team doesn't meet it, then you don't sell them. But times have changed. As Kevin Demoff of the Rams told me over the weekend, the NBA is coming to the NFL. And if you have a Jalen Ramsey who wants out, if you have an Emmanuel Sanders who wants out, and there's no real good reason to keep them, knowing that it's only going to be heartache and or your team is just going to keep losing, why keep them? And I think that's the biggest thing that we're seeing right now. But look, Emmanuel Sanders is an upgrade for them at receiver, but Emmanuel Sanders doesn't catapult them into the Super Bowl favorites role. He's a nice receiver who's whatever he is, 32 years old, and I don't even know what he is. But it's a nice trade. It's a good addition, but it's not revolutionary.
Third and fourth for Emmanuel Sanders, does that sound fair to you?
I mean, it's really heavy, but the world is changing. I mean, Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame GM, told me over the weekend basically that general managers today live in a more transactional society than general managers of previous generations in the NFL, like him. You know, Bill Polian did make some big trades. He traded Marshall Faulk to the Rams, and that was a huge trade. But mostly, general managers in bygone eras were extraordinarily conservative. You know, I've been updating this stat I had in my column on Monday, but just look at what's happened in the last 10 years. In 2009, for the entire calendar year, there were 39 trades involving players in the NFL. 10 years later, as of tonight, with 7 days left in what is sure to be a very active trading season, the 39 in 2009, now it's 58 in 2019. And it's not just schmoes that they're trading either. There's 14 Pro Bowl players who've been traded this year so far. So, you know, the world is changing in the NFL.
Just as a matter of history, who is the general manager who will ultimately get credit for breaking the traditional notions of resistance to trades?
You know, Ray, that's a good question. I would say, look, Bill Belichick has never shied away from trading. He's been a constant. But I would say it would be with the Rams, because I think Les Snead and Kevin Demoff with the Rams have basically said, we have tried it both ways now. We have tried trading for a jillion draft picks. I mean, when they made, you know, the Robert Griffin III trade, the trade trading down from the second pick in the draft to give Washington that pick, that trade evolved into tentacles that became eight players that came to the Rams. And now what the Rams have left from that trade is Michael Brockers, who is a good NFL defensive lineman. He's not great. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. And the other seven players they got basically have either disappeared or are totally insignificant. And so the Rams made a couple of those big deals. And I think what the Rams are saying right now, I had a drink with Demoff and Snead in their hotel in Atlanta over the weekend, and they just said, listen, we tried it that way, and we got a lot of picks. It didn't really pan out, and now we're going to do it this way, and we'll see if it works. And so they have basically traded two ones and a four for a player, Jalen Ramsey, who's a very good cornerback, He's only guaranteed to be on their team for the next year and a half. If you ask me my gut feeling, do I think they will keep him for more than a year and a half? Yes. But there's no guarantee, you know, that they're going to do that. So it's a huge, huge risk deal. But look, you see what the 49ers did. They traded basically a 3+, because when you get into they traded a 3 and a 4 and they get the 5 and the receiver back. The 4 and the 5 are likely going to be not probably about 10 picks apart, maybe 12 picks apart. So it's not that big a deal. If you have, let's just say that the 96th or the 109th pick, that's not a big deal. Okay. What is a big deal, obviously, is getting the 3. And so let's just say that 3 is a pretty valuable pick. But I guess I would look, or what they give is a valuable pick. But I guess I would just say this, that I don't mind doing that if they have such a gap on their team. And clearly the Rams need a receiver, just like the Patriots needed a receiver and traded a 2 for Mohamed Sanu. I'd rather have Mohamed Sanu than Emmanuel Sanders, by the way. I'd rather have Mohamed Sanu than A.J. Green, because A.J. Green just gets hurt too much. And by the way, Emmanuel Sanders, and again, do not get me wrong, I like this acquisition. I really do. But he's also missed 8 games the last 2.5 years with injury. So, again, I like the deal. I'm just not convinced it's any Nirvana deal for the 49ers.
Do you expect the bigger name wide receivers on the market? Because you may prefer Sanu, but A.J. Green certainly the bigger name, and Keenan Allen would be the other one I've heard who I would consider in that top-level elite. Do you expect either of them to move at this point?
Well, Keenan Allen is going to be a very, very interesting story, okay? Because I think your point, first of all, the Bengals operate, they're like the closed city of Gorky. And if anybody knows anything about Russian history, they'll know what I'm talking about. They don't care what the rest of the league does. They don't act like the rest of the league does. They do whatever they want to do. And I don't know what they're going to want to do, but my gut feeling is Mike Brown, you know, the 80-something owner of the Bengals, is basically going to say, I want A.J. Green. I do not want to trade A.J. Green. And I would not be surprised if that's how he feels. Now, if you talk about other players on teams that are basically pitfalling right now, I guess I would just say this. So if you look at the Chargers, for instance, okay, the Chargers this weekend have a huge game for them, in my opinion. They're at Chicago. If they lose to go to 2-6, the Chargers season is all but over. And, you know, I don't think anybody out there believes that they're somehow, some way, magically, going to go whatever 8-2 down the stretch, or whatever. I don't. I'm making up numbers. So I would not be surprised. Tom Telesco is a pragmatist and the general manager, and if he believes that at 2-6, they would get say a high 2 or a low 1. For Keenan Allen, who I believe is an absolutely extraordinary special talent. I think he's better than A.J. Green. I think he's great. Then he's going to have to think about that. In part because I know Tom Telesco. He is a rock-ribbed architecture guy with his team. So I think he would rather keep a great defense intact and trade a great offensive player.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. 49ers win a slop fest in D.C. to go to 6-0. They then do the deal for Emmanuel Sanders, and they've got a frisky Carolina team coming to town. What do you think of Kyle Allen and Carolina's chances this week at Levi's Stadium. Are the Niners about to be 7-0 here, Peter? I mean, this is we feel like we're taking peyote in this season.
It's an incredible year, but you know the Panthers are an interesting team because you know one of the things that has been great for the 49ers is that if you want to pass against them, you're not going to have very much hope. And that's what, you know, the teams that they've beaten so far, and again, I'm not saying they have played great quarterbacks, but they have played offenses that wanted to pass the ball. You know, Bruce Arians wanted to pass the ball in week one. Zach Taylor wanted to pass it in week two. The 49ers or the Steelers, not so much. You know, but then you know that the Browns, even though they've got good backs, I mean, Freddie Kitchens wants to throw the ball. Sean McVay, Jared Goff, they want to throw the ball. And so, and you can't count anything about last Sunday. It was, you know, it was like you're playing in the middle of the ocean. It was a ridiculous game. But so I think this game is going to be a little bit different in that if the Niners can stop the run and if they can put a shadow, you know, on Christian McCaffrey, I think it's to their advantage. The big interesting thing in this game, in my opinion, is that, you know, the 49ers have, you know, are coming off two straight road games, an East Coast trip, and they're playing a team that is coming off a bye, and other than at quarterback, is really quite healthy. So I think this is an interesting test for the 49ers. I think they'll win, but I think that in any game he plays, you know, I think it's possible for Christian McCaffrey to go nuts and to have a 175, 190-yard game.
On the other side of the bay, Oakland got its hat blocked by Aaron Rodgers. And does that tell us more about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, more about Oakland, or more about stuff happens?
Look.
Okay, I will.
One of my goats of the week in my column this week, Ray, was Derek Carr. He had a horrible, almost an irresponsible fumble at the 2-yard line, you know, into the end zone, that was huge in this game. And then he from the 15-yard line of the Packers, he threw a bad interception. So those two turnovers, altogether Derek Carr's fault, cost his team 14 points because they both became Packer touchdowns. So you can say, well, I mean, it was still a rout. Well, it was an 18-point game. So if Derek Carr is a little more careful with the ball and all that, you know, all of a sudden we might be looking at this game as a 2-minute warning game. Now, I think that the dangerous thing for the rest of the NFL is that Aaron Rodgers, you know, is starting to make beautiful music with Matt LaFleur. And everyone at the beginning of the season, and I had no strong feeling about it, but I just saw this thing playing out. Aaron Rodgers is the ultimate contrarian. He sees what the...
Have you met Ray Ratto?
No, you're right about that. Sorry. Ray ought to write Rodgers' book, really, because they get along great. But Aaron Rodgers basically heard and felt and saw the entire weight of, you know, the football world and the media world saying, okay, you got Mike McCarthy whacked, and now you've got a piece of molding clay in Matt LaFleur, who's not a strong, you know, altogether strong dictatorial person. So now you can totally control this guy. And so everybody could see the narrative that was playing out. And you know what he did? He said, I'm going to work with this guy. And so far, he has worked with him. He's won some, he's lost some, but he has done what Matt LaFleur has told him to do. And look, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I do know that when you get to be 35 years old and you're staring down the last 4 or 5 years of your career, unless you're Tom Brady, I think you basically say, okay, look, this team hired this coach. This is my coach for at least the next 3 years. So I only maybe have 4 or 5 years left to play the sport of football. And I've only won one Super Bowl. And I am going all in with this guy who people have some doubts about. And that's what I've seen in the first 7 weeks of the season.
Peter, what do you think of John Gruden trading another Reggie McKenzie first rounder in Garyon Conley?
I think he got good return for it, but I also think that his defense is a different defense than the one that Conley is going to be playing in Houston. And so I understand why Houston did it. They paid a big price for him, and Houston is denuding itself of draft choices. I'm not sure if they're going to have any draft choices left in a week at the end of the trading deadline, any draft choices in the next 2 years, because, wow, they are totally banking on today. But I would just make this one other point. I think that Mike Mayock and Gruden, but it's mostly Mayock in this case, have done a good job in creating market value for their players. Because I can tell you this, that there was more than one team that wanted Garyon Conley. And, and more than one team was actively engaged, you know, in the last few days in talking to the Raiders about Garyon Conley. So you may be looking at this as an Oakland Raiders fan or somebody covering the Raiders and saying, man, I don't want to say good riddance, but I mean, this wasn't a great pick, and they did a good job in getting some value for a guy who is just an average player. And I think they did do a good job in getting value, but there were people outside this organization who recognized that Garyon Conley was still a player, and as I say, they had more than one team highly interested in Conley.
Cam Newton has been on the rehab trail, allegedly. We heard there was a chance he could play against the Niners. They've announced he will not. I don't know if that means they've chosen Kyle Allen going forward, but if they have, any chance Cam Newton gets traded before the deadline?
Normally I would say no, but I don't know what's going on internally, you know, with the Panthers. I really don't. And what would make this a weird trade, quite honestly, is that you'd be trading for a guy, if you think about it, why would you trade for Cam Newton? You would trade for Cam Newton ostensibly because you were trying to fill a huge hole on your team this year. Okay? And if that be the case, how many teams out there as of next Monday, because there's no way that you're trading for a quarterback this, you know, on Tuesday night, get him in on Thursday morning or late Wednesday, and he's playing Sunday. He's not doing that. And it's hard to imagine, even if you trade for him like next Monday, that he could play, you know, in week nine or whatever week it'll be. But anyway, the only reason I'm making that point is that, you know, you have to find someone out there who would want Cam Newton right now, who's got a problem at quarterback and who thinks that Cam Newton right now could come in and be an upgrade on who you have.
Yeah, that's the one. There's one team. There's one team in that category.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
And, you know, the Chicago Bears right now, who still fancy themselves a playoff team, I think have a major need for a quarterback. That's how it looks to me anyway. But the other team, you'd say, oh, no way. The other team, I think, is Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Tennessee would do that. I'm not saying that Chicago would do it. But you, first of all, Cam Newton is, you don't even know what he is now because he's coming off shoulder surgery. He's got it coming off a foot injury, and he's a different quarterback anyway. You don't really know what he is right now. I sort of doubt he gets moved before next Tuesday.
Talking NFL with Peter King on 95.7 The Game. If every good team owner or president has a list of guys who he wants as his next coach. I mean, Robert Kraft should have that list. If Bill Belichick gets hit by a bus tonight, he's going to need a coach. So every team should have a list of the guy you'd want next. If you could see all of the lists of prospects, Peter, whose name do you think would be higher on most general managers' lists of next head coach they'd be interested in? The ascending Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator of the Niners, or Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley?
Well, first of all, if Bill Belichick gets hit by a bus tomorrow, the coach is going to be Josh McDaniels.
Fair enough.
The Patriots have basically already, I don't want to say committed to him, but all but committed to him. Now, that isn't to say that Josh McDaniels couldn't go somewhere this offseason. He might. If there's a place with a quarterback he likes, I wouldn't be shocked if he moved. But let's get to your question. There is always in the NFL a love affair with the offensive guru. And I think right now, as I look at this, and you look at the fact that there's a good chance, I don't know if you'd say a very good chance, there's a good chance that a transfer quarterback into Oklahoma will, for the third straight year, win the Heisman Trophy this year. It's one of the really interesting slash, I don't say I'd call it amazing, but weirdly coincidental, but telling stories in football right now, that Lincoln Riley with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts are in essence, you know, he's created this sort of farm system where he can invent a quarterback in his system in one off season, and that's what he's done. But I do also want to say this. I've got a little bit of knowledge about this situation, and I do not believe that Lincoln Riley will go into the NFL after this season. I don't know it for sure, but I have heard from people who've gone into Oklahoma this year that one day he'd like to coach in the NFL. He'd really like to stay at Oklahoma for a while. He's having too good a time. He loves his job. Now, what happens if Jerry Jones calls him up and says, we'll give you $10 million a year to come coach the Cowboys? I can't tell you what he'd say. I don't know. But you ask about Robert Saleh, and there's not a single assistant coach this year who has done more for his cause to be a head coach in 2020 or beyond than Robert Saleh. And so I think he's going to be a head coach at one point in the future. I think it depends on what team owners this year want, who they have on their team. Do you have a young quarterback who isn't getting the job done? Now, if Robert Saleh can say, I'm bringing Joe Miracle quarterback coach with me, then all of a sudden he's in the mix there. But I think most owners would say, if I have an underachieving quarterback and I want the fix, I want an offensive mind. So in your question, maybe then they go absolutely all out to try to get Lincoln Riley.
Toward that question, today's owners have a lot more to do with coaches getting hired than ever before. Do most owners have a sort of a value-neutral bias toward offensive coaches anyway? Would Robert Saleh have to oversell to sell the same way that the hypothetical Lincoln Riley would?
Well, Ray, I think if you look at the teams that are going to have openings, I think that's where you have to start, you know, where does he really have a chance? Okay, or where might people be interested in him this year? Okay, now, every year there's always a stunning coaching change. Every year. But as I look at the league right now, okay, I don't see a gigantic year for coaches.
I think Jacksonville, there's a good chance that Jacksonville makes a change. Even though Oakland and the Chargers and Denver are all underachievers, I think they're all going to keep their coaches this year. Obviously, there's an opening in Washington. There might be an opening with the Giants. So we've gotten to four now. I don't think there's going to be an opening in the NFC North. And there's going to be an opening in Atlanta. All right. But beyond that, I definitely don't think there's going to be an opening unless Pete Carroll decides he wants to retire in the West. So there's not going to be a huge number of openings. In my opinion, Arthur Blank is going to look at the landscape and he's going to say, I want the smartest offensive mind that I can find. If that's Lincoln Riley, if that's Josh McDaniels, fine. But I'm paying Julio Jones and Matt Ryan $50 million a year, and my offense blows. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to fix it. So I doubt he's been with a defensive guy. It hasn't worked. The Giants, I can't tell you. They really might be interested. They usually are a team that hires the best candidate. So they might be interested. And Washington, I think they're going to want to hire a quarterback guru. So, and again, that's a long way of answering your question, but I think it has to be an owner who does it the Bill Parcells way. Bill Parcells, last year, I remember talking to him when all these teams had openings and they're talking about hiring the Matt LaFleurs and the guys who've never been in charge of any team and not been head coaches at any level, because he believes that, you know, to be a head coach means that, you know, not all that much of it is how you design the offense. You know, it's everything else. It's all the other crap that you have to do and the leadership that you provide. So again, I don't mean to be down on his candidacy. It's just that I don't think it's any lock he's getting a job this year.
Peter, you're the man. Thank you so much. Always appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you next week.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game as we get ready for our 5 o'clock hour. By the way, we are right in the middle of a commercial-free hour. We're about to tip it off with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr joining us in just a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.